scripture text for meditation and consideration this morning is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. And I shall read. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Dr. Jeffrey Koo will lead us in pastoral prayer and bring God's message to us, Mary Magdalene.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we are truly thy privileged people because we have been bought and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we thank thee for this wonderful privilege that you have given to us to worship thee, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are called thy children, and we are known by our name, and you know every one of us. So Lord, we thank thee for thy love for us, and we do taste thy love each day of our lives. And surely we need thee every day. In this sin-cursed and wicked world that we live in, we cannot do without our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we thank thee for thy many promises in the Bible. And we thank thee for the precious promise that you will be with us even until the end of the world. Lord, we thank thee for the peace that we enjoy in this country. Surely you have loved and you have shown your mercy to our nation. And we thank thee, Lord, for the freedom of worship that we have, even the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ and of thy word. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to grant us this blessing and that you will be upon the rulers of this country whom thou hast set up, that they would rule this land with the fear of God in their hearts. And so we pray for thy blessing to be upon our cabinet ministers and all the members of parliament, even our prime minister, who shoulder a heavy responsibility and burden. May you grant him, O Lord, wisdom to govern this country. And we pray, O Lord, that we might continue to enjoy this peace and this rest that you have given to us in Singapore. And we pray that thy word may have free course and the good news might continue to be preached. Lord, we thank thee for True Life BP Church that thou hast established. Surely it is not by the will of men, but by the will of God. And we pray, O Lord, that we will continue to be faithful to the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to his written word, the Holy Scriptures. How we pray that you will keep us believing in thee and in thy words that thou hast inspired and preserved throughout the ages. How we thank thee that we have thy precious words, every one of them in our hands today, that we might live by thy every word. Surely thy word is good, thy word is holy, and thy word is sweet. And so, Lord, help us to read and study and meditate on thy word every day so that we might draw strength and grace to live our lives on this earth to the glory of thy name. O Lord, we want to pray for all those who are weak in health, those who are sick, those who are in bed of affliction. O Lord, be very near to them at this time in their physical suffering. We pray for Elder Mahadevan, who is still in hospital. Oh Lord, we pray that you would heal him, that you would raise him up, that soon he may be able to join us back in church to worship thee. We pray for our beloved pastor as well, and Mrs. Toh, that you will also heal them of their sickness and their weakness of the body, that they will recover very quickly, so that they might once again join us back in church for worship and for service. This is our humble cry. Lord, many a time we feel very helpless. And Lord, we pray and we admit, Lord, we are weak and needy people. We need thee, Lord. And so not only heal us of our spiritual diseases, heal us of our physical illnesses as well. And we know that you have saved us, not only our spirit, but also our bodies. And we thank thee that our Lord Jesus Christ had been resurrected from the grave. And we know that even if we die and our body perishes, yet one day our body will be raised up from the dead as well. And Lord, we thank thee for eternal life, everlasting life that you have given to us as a free gift. So Lord, we do not trust in ourselves. We do not trust in any work that we have done, but we trust fully and only in the good work of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life, and we go by him, the narrow way of the cross that leads to life. So Lord, we pray that this morning as we look into thy word and study into the life of Mary Magdalene, may you speak to our hearts and confirm thy truth from the Holy Scriptures, who thou art, who Jesus is, and how we need to draw close to him, to relate to him, and to worship and serve only him. For he truly is the soon coming King, and we must all stand before him. For those who are still outside the kingdom, O Lord, we pray that thy Spirit will convict them of their sin and their need to confess Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, so that they might have eternal life as well. All these we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary Magdalene. We are hearing a whole lot about Mary Magdalene from the Da Vinci Code, the book, and now the movie. Who was Mary Magdalene? Was she the secret wife of Jesus? Or was she just simply a disciple and a servant of the Lord? You know, there's so much falsehood and deception about Mary Magdalene today, concocted by the liberal theologians, by this horrendous book called the Da Vinci Code, and by these false Gnostic Gospels, that there needs to be a reverent restudy of the original and canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that we have in our scriptures today, so that we might obtain a true and full picture of who the historical Mary was and what was her place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. Mary Magdalene is mentioned 13 times in the four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it is crystal clear in all these passages, in all these verses, that the relationship between Jesus and Mary was not one of husband and wife, but one that was between master and disciple. You know, the Sunday Times last week, Sunday Times of May the 14th, commented that if Leonardo da Vinci were alive today, he would have sued Dan Brown for painting him into such an antichrist. And if Mary Magdalene were alive today, I think she would have been horrified by how she has been scandalously used to defame her Lord and her Savior. Who was Mary Magdalene? What was her place in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth? Well, we know, first of all, that Jesus was the Savior of Mary Magdalene, who was a sinner. Before Mary Magdalene met the Lord Jesus, she had a terrible, terrible past. And she led a most miserable life. She was a great sinner. And in the passage that we have just read, we are told that she was possessed by 7 demons. Oh, what a terrible thing, or a terrible situation to be found in. And Jesus had compassion on her. And Jesus cast out all her demons. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who had delivered her from this bondage. Jesus forgave her of all her sins. She was a great sinner. But Jesus can forgive us of all our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please do not ever say, my sins are so great, my sins are so many, Jesus can never forgive me. No, no matter how great your sins may be, no matter how many sins you have committed, Jesus can forgive you of all your sins, as much as Jesus can cast out the demons out of Mary Magdalene and forgive her of all her terrible sins. He can also forgive us of all our sins. And you know what a great and wonderful thing the Lord had done for Mary Magdalene. And that's why Mary Magdalene, after she found the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and her Lord, and believed on him, and her life was transformed, all her sins were washed away, she has been delivered from the misery and the torment of demons, she was so grateful to the Lord. And she was so grateful, she demonstrated her love and gratitude by breaking an alabaster box of ointment, of expensive, precious perfume, and anointed the feet of Jesus. And this we read in Luke chapter 7, the chapter before chapter 8, and you can read that for yourself. She showed her gratitude to the Lord. And it was something she could not forget, what Jesus had done for her. And if Mary were here today to share her testimony, what would she tell us? What would she tell us? I'm sure she would tell us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is indeed the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the only Savior. Like Mary Magdalene, we are all born in sin. And we sin every day of our lives. We know that. We know that for a fact. We know that we need a Savior. If there is no Savior, we go to hell. We are all condemned by our sin. And our heart, right, convicts us. We are guilty. We have broken the 10 commandments. We have broken every commandment of the Lord. And the Bible tells us if we just break one commandment out of 10 commandments, we have broken all 10. We all stand condemned. And that's why there's so much sadness, so much sorrow, so much war and fighting and terrible things in this world today. And you will not find the answer to our sin and to all the problems and difficulties of life from the Da Vinci Code. You go to the Da Vinci Code, you look for answers in vain. It only will cause you to be confused. It will cause you to be more miserable. It will cause you to be lost. But look for the truth in the Word of Life, in the Bible that God has inspired and God has preserved for us today. And when we read the Bible, we are really, all right, reading God's word, and it is as if God is speaking directly to us. God speaking to us. And Mary would tell us that Satan's will, she knows Satan's will very well. She was demon-possessed. And this world of Satan is full of lustful temptations and sinful pride. We are living in Satan's world right now. He is the ruler. He is the God of this world. And the Apostle John in 1 John 2:15 to 16 commands us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we may not be possessed by demons, like Mary Magdalene, but if we are obsessed with the things of this world, if we are obsessed by the philosophies and methods of this world, then we are, in a sense, possessed by the devil also. And if we allow his ungodly principles and worldly methods to fill our hearts and our minds, we might as well be demon-possessed. The Lord tells us to do things by the good book. But what do we often see? Well, the world tells us, and Satan tells us, go about doing things by hook or by crook. As long as you get what you want, isn't it? We are supposed to go by the good book, the Holy Scriptures. But the world tells us, go about it by hook or by crook. The world says, back, borrow, or steal. In other words, borrow and don't pay back. Isn't that the economics of the world? But what does God say? God says, thou shalt not steal. Owe no man anything. Satan's formula for success is godliness plus worldliness equals prosperity and progress. P-A-P, right? Prosperity and progress. But the biblical formula for success is godliness plus contentment equals peace and profit, also PAP. Peace and profit. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 to 12. I think it's important for us to read the scriptures. Many a time we just casually read the scriptures. Let us turn to the scriptures. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let us read this passage. What is the secret of success in this life? The Bible has the secret. Don't go to the Gnostics for secret knowledge. Go to the scriptures for true knowledge. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let us read together, shall we? Verse 6 to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 12 in unison. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art
also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. But the love of money is the root of all evil. So, dear friends, be like Mary Magdalene. Forsake this world that is full of death and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. And Jesus also said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You want abundant life? You want peace and profit in your life? You will find it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive His blessings. Your sins will be forgiven. And you will have meaning in life. And you will also see the Lord Jesus Christ one day in heaven. So Jesus was the Savior of Mary, the sinner. And Mary became a disciple of Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. And Mary Magdalene was an eyewitness to and a believer of three important events in the life of Christ. And these three very important and significant events of the Lord Jesus Christ pertain to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-4, we find Paul telling us or defining what the gospel is. And the gospel is the death of Christ according to the scriptures, the crucifixion of Christ according to the scriptures, His burial and His resurrection according to the scriptures. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. And that is the gospel. And Mary was a believer of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only a believer, she was an eyewitness to all three events, the death, burial, and resurrection. Where do we find this in the Bible? Well, we have to go to the Gospels, to Matthew, right, and to Mark, and you also find them in Luke and John. But let us read three passages in the Gospels concerning Mary's experience, right? Her eyewitness testimony experience of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So let's now turn to Matthew 27. And let us read the scriptures for ourselves. Turn to Matthew 27. I will read to you, right, this passage. Matthew 27, verse 50 to verse 56. Firstly, we find in the Gospels Mary witnessing the crucifixion of Christ. All right, the crucifixion of Christ. In Matthew 27, verse 50 to 56, we read, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them, among which was Mary Magdalene. Right? She was there at the crucifixion. And Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So Mary witnessed the crucifixion of Christ. How about the burial? She was there also when the body was placed in the tomb. Turn to Matthew 27, and again, the same chapter and the verses following, verse 57 to 61. And here we read, When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus.
Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And take note, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So Mary Magdalene was there at the burial of Jesus. Now every word of God is important. Even the naming of, all right, the people at the crucifixion, at the burial. And we find at the crucifixion, Mary Magdalene. At the burial, Mary Magdalene also there. And then how about the resurrection? Who was the first to witness the resurrection of Christ? Mary Magdalene and the women, all right? Now let's look at Mark chapter 16, 1 to 10. And please, the name of Mary Magdalene that is found in all these passages of the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is not by chance, but there is a reason and a purpose, a theological, doctrinal reason and purpose for the names being there, given to us by the inspiration of God, and the name has been preserved in that, in all these passages to teach us about the truth of the gospel and of the word of God that we have in our hands today. Right? Mary also witnessed the resurrection of Christ. In Mark 16, 1 to 10, it is reported, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went and told them that what had happened. Right? Well, here we see Mary Magdalene being mentioned a couple of times in Mark 16. She was the one who saw the resurrection of Christ, the empty tomb, and the resurrected Lord herself. And the question we want to ask is, why did the Lord choose and use Mary Magdalene and the women to be the first ones to witness the empty tomb and to see the resurrected Christ? Why did the Lord choose and use Mary Magdalene and the women? Now, I believe that the author of the Holy Scriptures, God Himself, had anticipated the Da Vinci Code and all such perverse attacks against His inspired and preserved words, so that His enemies might be confounded and for us to be also confirmed in the faith and in the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Now, the Da Vinci Code and the modernist scholars allege that the canonical Gospels are untrustworthy, because they have evolved, right? They say the four Gospels that are found in the Bible today, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have evolved, have gone through many, many changes. And the stories of Jesus that we read in the Bible, in the Gospels today, all the miracles, all the parables, all the sayings of Jesus in the life of Christ were all invented, right? Invented by the Christians many centuries later. Right? These were not the things that Jesus did. These were not the things that Jesus taught. These stories were all invented many centuries later during the time of the Emperor Constantine. And the modern scholars in the universities and the seminaries have always taught that Jesus was just an ordinary man. He's not God at all. It was his disciples later on that made him into a God. And that is the lie that I've been teaching all along for the past 100 years. So what we read in the Da Vinci Code is not something new. Actually, it's an old heresy, a falsehood that was taught in the universities, in the seminaries, but now made popular in this novel by Dan Brown. And so, what are we to make of all these things? It is very interesting that in the Bible, it is Mary Magdalene that would refute all the lies and all the deception that have been popularized by the Da Vinci Code and by Dan Brown. Why? Now, these modernist scholars and the Da Vinci Code says that the Christians later on were the ones who created all these stories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus was not God at all. He was just an ordinary man. And Jesus, as an ordinary man, lived like us. And then he married a wife and then later lived happily ever after. That's all to it about his life. How do we read of Jesus walking on water, feeding the 5,000 miraculously, raising the dead, doing all those miracles of healing? Well, all these things never happened. These stories were all invented to make Christ into a God. How do we know that all these attempts at undermining the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and all the miracles that he did, how do we refute them? Now, here we find in the Gospels something very, very significant and interesting from the eyewitness testimony and reports of Mary Magdalene and the women. Of course, the modern scholars also don't believe in the crucifixion of Christ, the burial and the resurrection of Christ. They don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And if all these stories about the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ were false, never happened, but invented by people later on, right, in the 4th century, then surely these people who invented the gospel, the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ, would have been careful to write their accounts, you know, in a credible way so that people would believe and it would be believable. But what do we find in the Gospels? Who were the ones who witnessed and who reported the crucifixion, the death, and the burial of Jesus Christ? Not the men, but the women. Now, why do I want to bring this up? It is significant that in those days, in that historical period, the women were despised. Right? The women folk were despised. And they were downtrodden. And they were perceived as, you know, people who were gossipers and talebearers. And their words and their reports cannot be quickly and easily believed. So the testimony and the report of women, the words that come out of the mouth of the women, will be next to useless. Okay? And if I want to invent a story about Jesus and make him into a God, that he died and was buried and then he rose again by the miracle of God, would I use women to report all these facts or not? I wouldn't, because if women were the ones who first reported, who saw all these things and reported, people would not want to believe. Because the testimony of women were next to nothing. Women's words were not taken seriously. That was the culture, that was the thinking of that time. But in the Gospels, we find precisely the women, Mary Magdalene and the women, who were the first witnesses, the eyewitnesses, and the first reporters of the crucifixion, of the burial, and most importantly, of the resurrection of Christ. And surely this would tell us that the four Gospels were not concocted or invented, but were truly factual and honest. Mary Magdalene and the women were the ones who were there, and it was reported honestly and truthfully. You know, if I want to make the Gospels credible and make people believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead, I would have, you know, if I were living in those days, a clever editor and inventor of the Gospel would have said, you know, when on Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead, I would not put Mary Magdalene and the women having gone to the tomb. I would immediately write Peter, James, and John, right? The disciples, the male disciples of Jesus, who have witnessed the resurrection. For their words would hold water because they were men. Right? And men's words are more weighty. I'll make it credible and believable. But no, the women, the Lord chose the women for a purpose. Mary Magdalene was mentioned specifically. And she was the one who saw all three events: crucifixion, burial, resurrection. Now, the rest of the disciples of Jesus, John, we know, was there at the crucifixion. It's not mentioned that he was there at the burial. And definitely all the disciples were not there at the resurrection. They saw the resurrected Christ later on. But we find Mary Magdalene, the one who saw all three, right, who experienced all three with first-hand knowledge and experience. And Mary Magdalene later on, and the women, when they returned from the empty tomb to tell the disciples of the Lord what had happened, what the angel said to them, and the body of Jesus no longer in the tomb, Jesus had risen from the grave. Peter and the rest of the disciples, what did they think of the women's report? Luke tells us they thought all these were idle tales. You ladies are telling tales again, right? They didn't believe, right? That was the thinking of the people in those days. And I believe the Lord chose Mary Magdalene and the women to witness the resurrection account in order to prove that the words and the reports of the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were truly authentic and genuine, honest and truthful in describing what actually happened in the life of Christ. Okay. And surely, our Gospels can be trusted, for they are all in harmony, one with another, no contradictions. And more importantly, it is through the four Gospels that we have in our Bible today that has caused us to know who Jesus truly is, to cause us to have faith in Him and how He has changed our lives. And we experience His resurrection power in our lives, right? In the past, we were wondering, what is life all about? What is the meaning of life? We wake up every morning, we go to school, or we go to work, we come back every night, we have 3 square meals a day, and then life is just this cycle, day in and day out. What is life all about? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And there are so many questions about life. And you know the truth, don't you? How, when the good news of Jesus Christ was preached to you, He died for our sins, shed His precious blood. He was buried on the third day, rose from the grave. And the Bible tells us, if we confess our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And He has given to us abundant life. We now know the meaning of life, where we come from, why we are here, and where we'll be heading.
And then with this wonderful knowledge of the truth, we live our lives victoriously in the Lord Jesus Christ. And happily. And the truth that is now in our hearts with the Spirit indwelling within us has changed us. And we see our lives being changed gradually and slowly by the Lord Jesus Christ and by His Spirit and by His sanctifying Word. That day by day we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we? We have experienced His resurrected power. And later on, the disciples of the Lord experienced the resurrected power of the Lord. For they saw the resurrected Lord Himself. And that proved the truthfulness of Jesus. Jesus predicted, yes, I'll be killed, but on the third day, I will be raised from the grave. And then indeed, every word was fulfilled. And so the men who were cowards became brave as lions. And they went all over the world preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, not even caring for their life. And all of them died a martyr's death. Peter himself, tradition has it that he was crucified upside down. Because Peter says, I'm not worthy to die in the same way my Lord had died. I don't deserve to die in the same way my Lord had died. He remembered how he denied the Lord 3 times. And he was very, very sorry for that. But now, with the truth of the resurrection, while he was as bold as a lion and faithful to the very end, you want to crucify me, then you must crucify me upside down. And tradition has it that Peter died by crucifixion, crucified upside down. And Andrew also was crucified. He was crucified on an X-shaped cross. And that's why today, the sign of St. Andrew's. And for those of you who are from St. Andrew's School, you know your school badge have a cross, right? An X-shaped cross. That's the sign, the cross of Andrew. Surely, the resurrection must be the truth. And it is this fact of the resurrection, historical fact of resurrection, that has transformed all these lives almost overnight. And so that Christianity has gone all over the world according to the Great Commission. And that's why we are here today, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Da Vinci Code may be here now, but it will be gone tomorrow. It will fade away. But the Bible stands, and the truth of the Bible stands forever. And we know that truth in our life. And the truth that we have received gives us eternal life. We will live forever. That is the truth. And so be warned, dear friends, against modernism today that come in different guises. And all this nonsense spouted by Dan Brown come from the modernist schools like Princeton Seminary, which is not truly a seminary, a place where you can grow in your faith. It is really a cemetery. I've seen the school for myself. Can anything good come out of Princeton's seminary? Beware of all these Princeton scholars. Bruce Metzger, Elaine Pagels, Bart Ehrman. I don't believe in all these scholars. I rather believe in the sacred scriptures. And we thank God for Mary Magdalene, and that God chose Mary and the rest of the women to give this report of the death and burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that we can know for sure these are not the words invented by men, but these are the truthful accounts of the gospel of the writers of the gospels who were led and supervised and inspired of the Spirit to pen all those words that actually happened, to record the events that actually happened. So God is very wise. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And we thank God for Mary Magdalene. She was no high-flying scholar, but a simple disciple and faithful servant of the Lord. And we thank God for all the faithful female disciples of the Lord. God mightily used them to tell us of His saving grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to prove the truthfulness of the gospel to the glory of His name. So the Lord can use, right, the women. And if you love the Lord like Mary Magdalene, you can have this privilege. And Mary Magdalene is the one today, right, by her eyewitness testimony, has refuted all the falsehood that is spun, all the falsehood that are spun by the modernist scholars and by the Da Vinci Code. And if we love the Lord Jesus like Mary Magdalene, He can use us too, even today. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank Thee for the truth of Thy Word. And we know that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, is not the product of clever men, but the thrice holy and perfectly wise God. And Lord, indeed, You know the end from the beginning. You know all things. And we thank Thee that You have given to us Thy Word. And in Thy Word, we see all these answers to refute the falsehood that we read about today. Oh, how the Lord Jesus has been blasphemed. But how we thank Thee that You have given to us the light of Thy truth. And indeed, we have known the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do trust in His forever infallible and inerrant words. And so, Lord, keep us believing and help us to love Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For it is in His name we pray. Amen.